Okay, great. So thank you for coming to the third Chassidus in Parshas here. I'm going to do things a little bit differently today. Instead of going through a couple of different Chassidus Svarim and around an idea, I'm going to look through one Sikha from the Lubavitch Rebbe about this week's Parsha and Yud Tes Kislev being the Rosh Hashanah for Chassidus. It's the day the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, was freed from the Russian prison. And it's a day when in Chabad Lor that he made a shift, basically, to start disseminating the secrets of Kabbalah, the secrets of Chassidus, to the masses on a more mass scale. Up until that point, what Chassidus Rebbes did is that they disseminated certain ideas to the masses, but basically they kept it within a closed circle. The Alter Rebbe is really the first one to take a lot of Kabbalah and put it into Tanya, put it into his drashos, put it into his Sfarim, and make it accessible to a larger group of people. And obviously, Chabad has continued this stream all the way into the 20th century, with the Lubavitch Rebbe teaching people Tanya before they know the Aleph Beis. And we'll see throughout in today's Sikha why that's important. And hopefully, Emir Hashem, if Ilu Yeshli Koach, and I'm still teaching a Stern in the full 2016 semester, I hope to teach class on the Lubavitch Rebbe. So everything will hopefully fall into place then. Here we go. Parshas Vayishev. This is from Tavshin Nun Aleph. That's 1981.1991. I was alive in 1991, so I wasn't listening to Sikhos, but it's pretty cool that I was alive when this Sikho was said. So I'm going to start with the Oz Beis. This was Parshas Vayishev right after Yud Tes Kislev. Oz Beis. Oz Tesefes Beyor Betokhna Shal Parshas Vayishev. So let me explain to you, the Rebbe says, the connection between Parshas Vayishev and Yud Tes Kislev. He's going to start off with three questions. So we're going to be skipping a lot because we don't have time to go through the whole sikha. Let's skip down to Os Aleph, one paragraph down. He says, "Bitzarach Lavin." You have to understand. Aleph, Hatam de Kriya Shem Parsha Shemura Al Toka and Dekala Parsha Vayishev Yaakov Shepirusha Leishev Veshalva. Pasuk starts off, and Yishev Yaakov the Eretz Meguria, the Eretz Canaan. Yaakov settles in the place where his fathers lived. And the Rashi says, Yishev Yaakov means he wanted to sit there b'shalva. He wanted to sit there in peace and serenity without having any more troubles. He just got through the trouble of Laban, he just got through the trouble of Esav. So the name of the Parsha is about Yaakov's desire to sit in tranquility and serenity and just live off the rest of his life. But Ava b'shamatza the yeshiva b'shalva, l'chor ranka pasuk harishon b'sheva Parsha. Vayishev Yaakov, Eretz Meguria, Eretz Canaan. But Yaakov's serenity doesn't last so long. Read the Parsha, pretty quickly, Yosef starts having his dreams, and there starts being a quarrel in the family. In Pasuk HaShini, Elon tells Yaakov with Yosef and Yosef and Shemaz Rishana, Adasim HaParsha, Mesuper Odos Perte HaYonim, HaShaykin, the Rogues Nosha Yosef. Have a Kamatzav, the Vayishev Yaakov. So why is the Parsha named after Yaakov's desire to sit in serenity and peace if that's not actually what occurs in the Parsha? That's question number one. Question number two, please. Hashaykos of Parshas Vayishev and Gula Yud Tes Kislev. So generally speaking, Yud Tes Kislev falls down in the week of Parshas Vayishev. What's the connection between Parshas Vayishev and Yud Tes Kislev? Shiachana Lagula Amitas Vashlema. Because Yud Tes Kislev, the emergence of Chassidus on a mass level, is a preparation for Mashiach. Again, comes to the Babish Rebbe class to explain why exactly that is. But what is the connection between Yud Tes Kislev and Parshas Vayishev? Oz Gimel. And there's another question in the Parsha. It says, Rashi says that the purpose of the Parsha tells you the toldos of Yaakov, the storyline of Yaakov. But what is the main storyline of Yaakov? It's Yosef. Because Yaakov really desired to marry Rachel, Yosef was their first child, so all of Yaakov's kunkos were put into Yosef. So you would think the story in Parshas Vayishev, which is a story about Toldos Yaakov, would be about Yosef. You read out in the Parsha, it's mostly about Yosef, but you have another thing stuck in the middle, which is a story of Yehuda and Tamar, and the eventual birth of Peretz and Terach. So what is the connection between this story in the middle of the Parsha, of Yehuda and Tamar, Peretz and Terach, to the broader storyline, which has to do with the Toldos of Yaakov, which gets epitomized in Yosef? So again, three questions. Number one, why is a parsha named Vayishev Yaakov if it's not actually what happens? Yaakov is not Zoka at Leishev B'Shalva. Question number two, what's the connection between Parshas Vayishev and Yud Tes Kislev? Question number three, what's the story of Yehuda and Tamar and Paris Tzarach doing in the middle? He asked it.
I think.
Okay,
but he was
saying
he
wants
like
Moshiach
and
Joseph. Close. He does that sometimes. He's not. He's not going to do that here. That would be a good direction to go in.
Can you say the second question?
Second question is, what's the connection between Parashat Vayeshev and Yotzei Kislev and Chasidus? So we're going to skip a little bit because we don't have so much time. To Oshei, it's on page 14, the bottom left of the page. It says that Uva Omeg Yoser, in more depth, Yeshlamar, Shasipur Delevas Peretz, Hulorak Hagdamas Refuadam Parshasa Shal Yosef, Hagam Chedek Parshasa Shal Yosef. The birth of Peretz, in particular, is part and parcel of the story of Yosef. Why is the birth of Peretz, Yehuda and Tamar's oldest son, part and parcel of the story of Yosef? Look at the next paragraph, the bottom paragraph, page 14. Yosef in Lashon Hosafa. What does Yosef mean? To add on, to increase. More al-Hosafa Shalol al-Derach HaRagil. It means to increase in an unnatural way. Gamalu Menatava. Binyani Kedusha, B'ilu Ya'akar, Ilu Ya'ad Insof. It's to constantly rise in levels of Ruchnias. Megam V'ikar, Hosafa Ayelizeh, Shinayam HaBilti Ritzuyam Eshafkim Kedusha. What does Yosef represent? The ability to constantly rise in levels of Kedusha, but to rise in a way that you're transforming negative aspects of the world or secular aspects of the world into Yanim of Kedusha. How do we know that? Page 15. Kamudigosh Batam de Kriya Shem Yosef. When Yosef is born, he gets the name Yosef. Why? Hashem Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. Rachel says, Hashem, please give me, add unto me another son, Ben Acher. Shemahavkim Acher Leven. In earlier Chabad Chasidus, what's the Kach of Yosef? Not Ben Acher, another son, but to take an Acher, take something that's far away from Hashem and make it into a Ben, make it into a son. And that's exactly what Yosef does with his life. He goes down to Mitzrayim, he goes to a Makom Tuma, and as he's able to elevate that Makom Tuma to higher and higher levels of Kedusha. So the word Yosef is to be Mosef. Yeah.
Does he really elevate his time? He maintains his
He means so we're gonna again. Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to go give all the context. In the current of the Babish Rebbe, Yosef was there to elevate the secularism of Mitzrayim, and he was able to do that in various ways.
And what
then,
are they still steeped in?
They were still steeped in whatever they were steeped in, but he tried his best to give them milah. We're gonna say he gave them a stable economy which they didn't have before. I mean, he was misad their economy for them, and he also gave them milah. He forced them to be. To get Bris Mila, and he also, I think, Yosef ended up owning them. They all sold themselves to Yosef. So in some sense, they all became meshuba to the kokos of Kedusha, and they had to listen to what he told them to do. So this idea of Yosef, it's also the idea of Peretz. He says, "Nekudas ha'inyan sheYosef hosafa b'shleimuso more almaymad umatzav shemala memidav hakbala." How do you get to this idea, to the ability to constantly ascend, to constantly go up in levels of real kedushas, and transform in Yoni Olam Hazeh into things which are more kadosh? I think pritzas kol hagadar. The word peretz ufarasta is an important word for the Rebbe, to break through, to break forth, to go beyond what you naturally think you could do. He says in both directions. Right? Skip the brackets. Shazel inyono shel peretz paratza olacha peretz. And Peretz, when he's born, his hand bursts through his mother's womb. Zerach was the one who was first coming out first. That's why the midwife put the red string on Zerach's arm to know that Zerach was going to be the firstborn. And Peretz bursts forth in an almost unnatural fashion, jumped out of the womb, and came out first. So that ability to jump forth, to do things beyond your natural capabilities, is what's signified by Peretz. And that's what's going to give you the koach to be able to be Yosef, to be able to constantly ascend the levels of Ruchnius. He then goes on to explain the exact language. Rasta aldecha peretz, that you burst forth in a way which is even beyond regular bursting forth. Yes.
So could you say again, how peretz and Yosef are connected?
So I think all he's saying as of now is just that it's you see a similar type of midah, that peretz is able to burst forth in an unnatural fashion. You have to go beyond your regular capabilities, go beyond natural capabilities, and Yosef represents the result of that. That once you're going beyond your natural capabilities, you're able to elevate even a Mitzrayim. To constantly send levels of Kedusha and bring the entire world up, even things which don't seem to be part of the world of Kedusha.
Great.
Okay, perfect. So he says that's why the story of Peretz is an important part of the story of Yosef. The story of Yosef's descent to Mitzrayim is a story of a Kaddish person, a Kaddish family, a Jewish person, going down to the deepest, darkest galus, being able to ascend and elevate that place. If you want to have the koach to do that, you need a Peretz there before. You have to get the mita of pritzos to be able to jump beyond your regular capabilities to be able to elevate a Mitzrayim, which doesn't seem to have any inherent kedusha in it. So let's skip to page 16 for a second. He's got to explain this matter in a little bit more depth. Skip to the third paragraph on the page, the second paragraph it goes on, page 16. He says, Hosafa Amitis, Yosef, Be'ofen shel pritzas geder peretz, this constant ascent by going beyond your capabilities, where does it take place? Doesn't take place in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't take place if you stay within the confines of the shul or the Beis Medrash. Mudgashes be'ikar kishanim saim lemata eretz Mitzrayim. It's more emphasized when you are in the most tummy place. The Avos, let's say Yaakov at this stage in the game, was sitting in Eretz Yisrael in a more Kaddish place. The family was insular. Yosef has a special mission, which again is leads him to higher levels of kedusha. Dafka through a descent. You have to go down to the most tummy place in the world with the koach of Peretz, going beyond your natural capabilities in order to be able to elevate it. Now, skip the brackets. Yafa pikein naasis avodah b'shlemos ad hosafa amitis ofen shel pritzas kol hagadarim kolav gam shenaase habiru ma'alad b'mitzrayim. Through Yosef and Eretz together are able to go down and elevate everything in the world, even the most tummy place, which is Mitzrayim. And again, he says that this is the story of Yosef's descent. The Shvatim stay in Eretz Israel. They stay in the Kaddish place. They stay in one level of Ruchnius. Yosef is able to go down to Mitzrayim and elevate even that. Let's get to Oskas for a second. The bottom paragraph of this page. He says, and this is not only a story of Yosef. What happens after Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim, and Yosef is able to elevate Mitzrayim as much as he can? The rest of the family goes down as well. Which means that ultimately, you need somebody to be Poretz Gedarim. You need somebody to go down there to Mitzrayim, to the most tummy places, start the elevating process. And ultimately, all of Klal Yisrael has to do. The entire family has to go down to Mitzrayim, the most tummy place in the world, in order to be able to elevate the every aspect of this world. So let's read Oskas. So he says, "V'hemshech l'zeh, gam ha'yirida the Yaakov Avinu, v'kol b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, even the descent of Yaakov and his children and everybody else, k'totzah mi'mechiras Yosef in Mitzrayim, shayidei zeh his galgul of yirida the Mitzrayim, v'hamshaka 17, pagolas shel achar zeh." Nikru Hashem Mitzrayim, Keshura and Leidas Peretz. This idea is connected not just with the descent of Yaakov and his children to Mitzrayim, but every other Golos that also stems from Golos Mitzrayim. The Jews are found in Golos. The Babat Rebbe is found in Crown Heights, in New York City. We're in 34th Street. What's the role of a Jew in Golos? Kavanas HaGolos is the top paragraph, page 17. Kavanas HaGolos, Hayrida the Mitzrayim, He Bishvil HaHusafa Yosef. What we have to do in Galus is something which you can't do if you just stay in Eretz Israel. You can't do if you just stay in the Beis Medrash or the Beis Knesset. You have to be able to add on levels of Kedusha. K'may Merazal, lo hikla HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yisrael levein ha'umos, ela k'day sheitfasfu aleihem girin. Gemara says, why did the Jews have to go into Galus? So that girin should be able to convert to Judaism. So that when they should be scattered in all four corners of the world, and however neshamos are supposed to be Jewish, are able to connect to the local Jewish community. So in Hasidus, it's not just first people who are becoming Gerim, but the idea of finding Kedusha in every corner of the world. Shizahu Atzmo to Biur Nitzotzos HaKedusha Ba'ad HaGerim Kishuto. It refers to Biur Nitzotzos HaKedusha, finding the sparks of holiness wherever you are and elevating them. And again, this is something that you can't do if you're sitting in Eretz Israel. You can only do this if you're like Yosef, if you're able to go down to Mitzrayim, go beyond your natural capabilities, which would keep a Jew in Eretz Yisrael, Makom Kedusha, go down beyond your comfort level, and still stay strong to be able to elevate that area. how some of the usage, which was one of the columns in Mitzrayim, Nazis, Idea, Avuda, but both initial priests get there. The way to do this is to burst forth. Shigabin Matzav, Shirito, Begalos, Ad Husha, Kafal, Nahupo. Even if you're in a place which is covered over with darkness, Takton, Sheila, Takton, Mimena. You're in the lowest level in a place where there's nothing lower. Nazis, Avuda, Sam, Shabane, Israel, Hotokev, Hein, Binari, Gimishan, Hein, Midir, Olam, Achet, Partsin, Gidri, Haolam, the Gidri, Hagalos. And the idea is to be able to go down to the lowest places and to break through what seems to be galus. And here comes the key line: "Uvishev emsa tokev galus mamshikin umagalim alufo shaola." The anshe mamshikin umagalim baola, v'lomach alufo shaola, alakam pinas lakushan alame olam, etc., etc. Says this is something that he was fond of saying. Take the word galus, and you add an aleph. What do you get? Geula. Take the Alufa Sha'olam, take HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take Hashem, put him into Galus, that itself becomes the key to Geula. Because ultimately, what Geula is all about is recognition of Hashem of Melech Ha'aretz Kevodo. Hashem is everywhere, Hashem is everything. Everything in this world is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We may not see it, there may be an illusion, it might be a Choshech Kafal Mechopal, there might be layers and layers of darkness which cover it over, which make us unable to see the divinity that's everywhere. But ultimately, the state of Geula is the ability to see Kedusha everywhere. So in order for the Geula to happen then, what you have to do is go down to the darkest places. Or Klai Yisrael has to be in the darkest places, in the Mitzrayims, in the Crown Heights, in the New York Cities, in the 34th streets of the world, places where you don't see Kedusha, and be able to be strong in the Rebbe Hashem there. And he says two things. Be strong, hin binani Kedusha, hin with your Olam, both in interactions with yourself as a Jew, and your interactions with people on the outside, the outside world. You have to be able to bring Kedusha into both of them. By doing so, you'll be like Yosef, being able to add the Aleph to Galus to get to enter into a state of Geula. Great. He says, we're not going to have time to go through it, but in Oz Tess, he says, this is exactly what happens with Yaakov. Yaakov, you know, wants to be Leishet Hashachar. He wants to sit with serenity. He wants to live out his life in peace. Where does he want to do that? The Eretz Meguri of it. He wants to do that in Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem doesn't want him to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem wants him to go down to Galus. So Yaakov has a very troubled life, his entire life. At what point in Yaakov's life does he actually get his grant requested? Is he actually able to sit in peace with surrounded by his family and not have to deal with all these troubles and tribulations? Only when he goes down to Mitzrayim. That's where Yosef takes care of him. Yosef takes care of his economic needs. He's not troubled by Laban anymore. He's not troubled by Esav. He gets to sit with kavod from Paro and sit in serenity, live out his days at the end of his life with peace and quiet. So even Yaakov, who wants to be Leishev HaShalva in Eretz Yisrael, you have to go through the story of Yosef first in order to get there. Yes, you deserve to be Leishev HaShalva, but the only place you could do that is if you first go down to the deepest, darkest gullus. And there you'll be Leishev HaShalva, you'll do your Avodas Hashem there, and you'll be able to redeem even Mitzrayim.
Doesn't it say, I always wondered, when Yaakov got there, he was in Geula, like, how many years was he in Mitzrayim?
17, I think? 18?
How many does it say he was in, it was the best days of his life? I always wondered, was the first year R?
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting. The Rebbe doesn't differentiate. It just says, once he goes down, his troubles are over, he's able to be Leishet B'Shalva. And he goes, his desire in the beginning of Parshas Vayishev only comes to fruition in the end of Parshas Vayigash and the beginning of Parshas Vayichai.
Right.
So yeah, so I assume it might have been heard at part of the beginning, but I guess.
No, because in order to get it, it's to bring the olive portion, to bring them to the tribe, so maybe because Yosef already had it.
Maybe because Yosef already did it, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, thank you.
No, and it's certainly a very pertinent question. So let's skip to the end now. To page 19 post here. So what's the action between all of this and these as good slaves? Now we understand why the story of Peretz is important for Surah Yosef, because we need this call of a priest of Sarah who's going to be doing things unnaturally, bringing Kedusha to an unnatural place for Yosef to be successful. Yaakov's desire, Leishev v'Shalva, doesn't come to fruition in this week's parasha, but it does come to fruition in the later parasha when he's down in Mitzrayim. And the relevance for all these things for a Jewish community in New York, is in America, is pretty clear, especially after Rabbi's been emphasizing this for the past 40 years. So what Chassidus does for the Lubavitch Rebbe is exactly that. Chassidus is the koach to be able to see divinity everywhere and in everything. The Chassidus gives you the ability to take the galus, the gimel lamed vav taf, add in the Elul Hashalom, add in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that is exactly going to be the state of Geula. Which is exactly why for the Lubavitch Rebbe, at what point in history does Chassidus get spread out for Rasta to the biggest degree? Not when the Baal Shem Tov is alive and he's sitting there in the Ukraine. Not even when the Alter Rebbe is alive. And not when the Chabad Chassidus is located in Lubavitch, in a small community where there's a Chatzar, the Rebbe, and people are able to live lives of Avodas Hashem. The biggest inroads Chassidus makes in the world as a whole can only happen when the center of Chassidus moves to the most tummy place in the world, the center of Chassidus moves to New York City. That's exactly what the Rebbe says, that's exactly what he emphasized. Now that we are find ourselves in America, in what he calls the Kadar Aretz HaTachton, the lower half of the world, we're away from those centers of Chassidus in the past. Our job is to take the Galus and make the Galus itself into the Mayanos HaChakma. Make the Galus itself into the fountain spring, into the source of this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really everywhere and everything, and it's Dafka in the deepest, darkest times, in the deepest, darkest point of the Galus, the darkest part of the night, this time right before the sunrise, the darkest part of the Galus is the time right before the Geula, the time when Jews aren't in their shtetls in Europe anymore, the time when Jews are in New York City and in America, and there's a wave of secularism sinking over the Jewish people, and there's a wave of secularism sinking over the world, and things seem the darkest, that's exactly when we need the koach of Ufuratzta, of the koach of Chassidus to burst forth and teach everybody that you might think you're very far away from God, you might think Galus has nothing to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you might think America has nothing to do with God, but no. Add in the Aleph to Galus, add in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to see God is everywhere. Hashem is everywhere, and Hashem is in everything. And that's exactly why Yitzhak Mislay becomes Rosh Hashanah of Geula, not just the Chag of Geula, not just for the Alter Rebbe, not just for Chassidus, but ultimately for Mashiach. If you want to see this idea inside more fully, the Rebbe gave a maimor, a Yitzhak Mislay one, called Kuntris L'Inyana Shel Chassidus. Basically went through what the purpose, what the goal of Chassidus is. And it basically, if you want to sum it up in one sentence, it's this idea. The goal of Chassidus is to teach you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, everything, like Uncle Moshe's own. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. That's a very deep statement of Chabad Chassidus. And that Dafka happens, like with this Kach of Ufaratzta, this spreading of Chassidus to everybody, this teaching the entire world of this idea, Dafka happens, like with Yosef, when you're down in Mitzrayim, when you're in the deepest, darkest point of the Galus. So he, in Os Yod, he goes through the three stages of the dissemination of Chassidus. Because originally the Baal Shem Tov was like Beis Yaakov, Eretz Megorei, Eretz Kanaan. Baal Shem Tov had a close circle of students. He was stage one of the process. He was almost like he's still in Eretz Yisrael. Then stage two is when the Alter Rebbe came along. Chabad Chassidus came along. You have something called Hosafa. He says his father-in-law, whose name was Yitzhak Yosef, epitomized this idea. That's when he came to America. He started the process of sending a shluchim. He started the process of spreading Chassidus on a more mass level. And then he says, now it's 1991. It's 40 years after the Friedrich Rebbe passed away. Skip down to the last paragraph. He says, "V'zen etzvasif u Yosef over the frats of the Chaveres." Now, 40 years after Friedrich Rebbe passed away, 40 years into his own nisius, we could say that we are still in the process of Ufarasta, stage three of the dissemination. Shein kai inish adai to the Rebbe, but open to lebe das and enayim the doros as naim. And now we finally understand what the Friedrich Rebbe is trying to do. Shafatzos hamayin uskutza, that spreading these wellsprings of Chassidus to the outside, nasis to open the Ufarasta yama pekema the sevot of the neck. Now it's spread literally to all four corners of the globe. until the farthest islands have these ideas of Hasidus and Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've pushed away all the boundaries. Shalchein Mukhanim Kfar Levias Mashiach Tukenu. Parrots then Mashiach, Shnemar Allah Parrots of Mayim. Parrots becomes the forefather of Mashiach. The Midrash says Parrots from Mashiach. Now, when we're in the deepest darkest galos, and the idea of Kadosh Baruch Hu being everywhere, and the ability for everything to be elevated, is spread to all four corners of the globe, now we're ready for Mashiach to come. Ultimately, Mashiach hasn't come yet. He said this in 1991. 1992, the Rebbe had a stroke and was unable to speak. 1994, I think he passed away. But the idea, this was a key idea in the Rebbe's philosophy, and it connects to Tzitz Kislev, because that started this process of the dissemination of Chassidus, this key idea of being able to elevate everything, finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu on everything, adding that little aleph, that little shel olam, to the galus, to create a state of Gula. So thank you very much. Again, Chabad Chassidus today is like a huge Yom Tov, and the rest of us, we can appreciate what Chassidus does for us and what Chassidus does for the world. So thank you very much. Hope you have a nice day.